Here, we'll just start the recording so I don't forget about it later.
Yeah.
I've done that before. You know, we've started the program, and I'm already like 5 minutes into it. I said, oh, shit, I forgot to turn the recording.
Forgot to record, huh? Yeah.
You know, I had that happened one time. I had to go back and redo some parts of it. But anyway, but there's so much happening. By the way, welcome everybody. But and I don't know what you want to chat about today, really. But I was just going to call your attention to the collision of economic forces that is just bamboozling everybody. You know, if you follow economics or finance, you know, then like me, you would end up spending a lot of time listening to Bloomberg, most likely, because they got the monopoly almost on financial news in the country. Anyway, and they got a tremendous staff, 2,500 reporters. That's a lot of reporters. You know, so, but you have all these different things going on. We have the debt limit controversy, right, where the House Republicans, the MAGA people, I suppose, are, you know, they want to have draconian budget cuts. They basically want to try to have a government shutdown, sounds like. Problem is, and I think they want to do that also because they actually want to have a constitutional crisis in the country. You know, how they expect to gain out of all that, I'm not entirely sure, but it doesn't look good. Anyway, and then at the same time, you have the employment report that came out on Friday, which just shows, you know, the lowest unemployment in 40 years or 50, a long time. And then you have in the inflation battle, that looks like that's not going as good. Because despite the fact that it started to head down, and it started to go up, prices started to go up slower last month, they shifted this month. And going back up again, you know, the rate going back up again. And everybody knows it because you walk in the grocery store and a month ago, I noticed that you could buy the only meat that was on sale for less than $5 a pound was pork, right? And everything else, chicken, beef, you know, was higher. Now, yesterday, I bought 3 pork chops, and that was over $5 too. Okay, so, and now, most of the experts say that you're watching long-term, lagging effects of the pandemic and the supply chain breakups that took place then. But as we came out of the pandemic, we decided to, you know, reject all of Russia's concerns about the Ukraine joining NATO, and that war started. Once that started, that caused the spike in oil prices to go up again, as they had during the pandemic. And then, since then, Biden and I blame Biden mainly. I don't see who the hell in the world China is actually threatening. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. I mean, they want to do trade deals with people, but I mean, that if you either, I assume you have a choice to do them or not. And the fact that a lot of countries were doing deals with them upset I don't know. So now we have a Cold War too against them. That's also contributing to the inflation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, well, for all kinds of reasons. Anyway, so you got these. This you got full employment, mm-hmm. high inflation. The Federal Reserve is spiking interest rates, trying to bring down the inflation. But mm-hmm. on the way to doing that, the spike in interest rates was probably the trigger. I think most people are seeing that now. mm-hmm. As the trigger that caused this spate of bank runs, bank failures. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's a little complicated, but there's a simple way to describe it, actually. You know, the banking business mm-hmm. can be summarized in two sentences. They will help you save your money.
Okay.
Safely at the mm-hmm. high interest rate of 2% mm-hmm. and loan it back to you at the low interest rate of 18%. That's how they make money.
That's how they make money. And it's going up.
Well, anyway, that gap. So
it has gone up, I mean, a lot.
But the banks, in order for your deposit at most Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation insured banks, most banks, commercial mm-hmm. banks, it is insured for up to $250,000, I think, as long mm-hmm. as the bank complies with FDIC rules about, you know, when they make loans, they're supposed to be collateral for the loan. You know, I mean.
They're supposed to be. That language is changing. You swim at your own risk.
Yeah, what is collateral, right? You know, and boy, you know, I was reading up on some of the things that Silicon Valley Bank said was collateral, and man, sounded like collateral that existed in the.
Fake.
Oh, it sounded like collateral that existed in the future, not now. You know, I don't know what kind
your perspective on economics is really, it's a comfortable way to start your day for me. As somebody who is a confessed broke person, I'm a confessed,
Yeah, right.
And you know, but the ideology, I'm rich in optimism. You know, I'm overflowing with optimism. However, my belly, when it starts to want a slice of bread,
yeah,
you know, optimism don't count for jack.
Nothing. Right.
You know, so back to it was a very enlightening conversation to have here this morning on Enlightened Radio, John. The economics, and how do we tie all of that into dysregulation in the country right now, and what does it lead to? What is the manifestations of all that's going on? You know, it seems like the country is at high risk, high economic risk all right. around, high risk of future sustainable poverty. And when I say sustainable, I'm talking lifetimes of situational events,
generations
that people are going to have to climb out of in the future. That's in the future. We're talking about tomorrow. What's happening today?
So what's happening today is that
has gone bankrupt five times.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, or is it more? Because I'm
it's so far five. Well, mm-hmm. here's you should keep in mind. What happened there is that the banks have to keep a certain amount of deposits on hand to cash checks, right? Mm-hmm. And the rest that they loan out supposedly has collateral that they could, if the borrower doesn't pay you back, then right. you have something to put on the asset side of your balance sheet, okay, that otherwise a big hole is immediately created, right? Mm-hmm. and so in order to do that, because of the volatility of the pandemic, some of these banks did two things. One is they wanted to make be able to do more investment. Okay, so they offered some depositors' accounts that were not insured. In other words, if the FDIC would not pay you anything if the bank failed. All right. And in exchange for that, of course, the bank would offer the investor or the lender, the borrower, a higher interest rate. Okay, you'll make more money, but there's more risk.
Both sides,
right? Because the bank's now going to they're going to make an investment that's not insured. Okay, it's not there's not fully collateralized. Just one way to say it, I suppose. You know.
Okay, so ping pong ball.
So they get into that. Okay, that's one thing. But the other thing that happens is that, you know, what constitutes the cash basis of their on their asset side, okay? And it turns out in order to protect themselves, they went and, because they saw this volatility during their pandemic, right, in the financial situations, and interest rates were near zero at the time. And so they went out and they bought U.S. Treasuries at 2%. Mm-hmm. So when you buy a treasury, you know, when you're basically loaning the government money, right? And at the end of its maturity, whether it's 2-year bond or 10-year or whatever, you get paid the principal and interest back, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what happens when interest rates go to 5% and 6% and your bond is at 2%? And you can't get your money out of it for 10 years. Well,
for 10 years
in 10 years, you'll get your money and 2% back. Okay. But, in the meantime, you know, right now the government's offering 5% because of the Federal Reserve raised these interest rates. So the base interest rate of the U.S. bonds has to go up with it. Okay. And, well, now everyone's buying U.S. savings bonds at 5%. You have a cash crunch in your bank because you've been doing risky investing. And you go and try to cash in and sell your 2% bond that you bought 4 or 5 years ago. Nobody wants it. You can't sell it. Because the government's selling you 6% now. Your bond is worthless until it matures. Okay, it's not marketable at all. You can't sell it. No one will buy it. So it's not
so
really.
So the little savings bond you bought your kid.
It's still a savings bond. But if you're in a crunch and you say, "I want to sell to raise cash," because my depositors are going to make a bank run on my bank. I need cash. Well, what you know? Normally, you could sell it, right? If the interest rates were anywhere near, right? But you can't because you're asking someone to buy your 2% bond when they can get a 6% one from the government. You know, no.
So my little bond. So what about?
Well, you know, you're probably not planning on selling your bond. You know, you're planning on using it and wait a little returns.
Hey,
you get your 2%.
Going up on the price of chicken and all that.
But the banks.
I might have to take my bond over to ShopRite.
But the law says that the banks can put that bond on the asset side of their balance sheet.
Oh, so they'll take it and just.
Yeah, they
it
say,
over there.
Here are my assets. You know, it's their side of the collateral argument, right? It's an asset they can now use and say, okay, I can invest all this other money because I have this asset, this 2% treasury security, which is safe. Well, it is safe, but if interest rates rise above whatever you bought that one at, it's not marketable. You can't buy or sell it until it matures. I mean, you get your cash out when it matures, but until then, it's just a piece of paper. You know, you have in your wallet. Looks like a dollar bill, but it's not.
And if you run out of the other stuff, you can use that to clean yourself up.
Yeah, well, It just so they got themselves in a ton of trouble. But you don't know how many of the commercial banks are in that position. You don't know because they're not reporting that they have all these assets. But we're finding out through these different banks that have had bank runs that, and each one's a little different.
What do you say to the guy or the girl or the lady that, you know, they say, they're spreading a lot of fear. You know, the person that's going to work every day, working their job, coming home, you know, been doing this for 20 years and, you know, they're still struggling and everything, but it's not as dysregulating as we make it sound. Because I don't know why that would be, but I know that it's happening all over because that's the plan, to get people to just kind of relax and take it easy, don't pay attention to stuff.
Yeah.
And so the really beautiful sounding explanations that we give for why, when on Friday I get my check and I go in the grocery store and when I come out of the grocery store, I'm $75 thinner than normally. Right. And the first thing that comes out of my mouth was, daggone. You know, they use some other expletives.
Yes.
But, wow, you know, what the heck is going on? Yeah. Then we come and start paying attention and want to fight because we want that we need that $75 for the rest of until the next paycheck.
But it's only worth 60.
Then we look up and you've worked all year.
Yeah.
And your boss says, okay, you're a good employee. You can go on vacation for 2 weeks. Well, those 2 weeks, you have to work somewhere.
Yep.
You know, you can't just go on vacation no more because, you know, but people are doing it anyway. So that's a lot of us go into debt because we can reach out to these people that serve you up something with like you said, the bank is going to offer you another interest rate. How is it a higher interest rate an offer?
Well,
you know, offering? I'm going to offer you something. I'm going to offer you the finger is what I'm going to offer you from now on with that high. I mean, what is it that people should be doing, John? What should we be doing to prepare ourselves for this inevitable seemingly situation? Because the statistics say that this continues to happen, default after default after default. And what we do is we look for the rescue. How many foreign rescue missions and things can we afford not to get involved in?
I don't know, brother.
You see,
I think you have a revolutionary situation developing, and it hasn't. All these fragile economic things that keep piling up, but especially the inflation in food. I don't think the system can fix that. What happened at the banks was that Jamie Dimon gets to absorb the remaining assets of the dying banks, and the federal government eats the losses. You know, guarantees the deposits, whether they're insured or not. Well, so you're headed for a bad situation, and I don't see an easy way out of it at all.
There is no easy way, but people in general, I've found, are very resilient, and we come up with ways to get it done. That's our motto here in this country. I find people all over the country, I've met many people from many places and seen many things, and people are the same everywhere, the same struggles, the same desires, the same wants and needs. People become dysregulated on a daily basis. We're dealing with mental illness. It's become like a tsunami in this country of bad happening. Every day, every single day. And so when people are inundated by being involved or seeing or even being the victims of all this chaos, dysregulation happens and it takes control of people's, their nervous system, their fight and flight. People are in constant flight and fight. And then there's people who are in the door and people who just freeze and figure, the world is no place to be. I'm out of here, and when I go, you don't want to save a lot of other people by killing them as well.
If I'm going to go, I'm going to take you with me.
I'm going to take you with me, whether you like it or not. So this is what's best for you, and I know you're only 2 years old, but I'm the adult here, so I'm killing everybody. High risk, high need. And so that seems like it's the game plan. Everything is risky. And you have a need to not be in such chaotic surroundings every day, all day.
I know it's going to be.
Yeah. But, there's a good side. There's a good side because it builds
there's
strength.
There's a good side.
There's a good side. I have to offer that up. I have to go out into the world today. It's 7 a.m., 7:21 a.m.
Right, well,
the sun is shining bright. There's no immediate chaos around me right now. I don't see anything.
Not yet.
It's just but if I go and turn on my television set.
Oh, yeah.
And it's becoming like all of the
murders,
all the moral injury. Look at these guys that's running for political office.
Oh God.
When I was a kid, politics and being a politician, I thought was an honorable thing to do. If I saw a young teenager or a young kid or something appear on television at a news conference, and he was a politician. I thought the world of that.
Right.
Moral failure is happening all over the place, and it's subtle. It just floats around in the atmosphere and gets a hold of communities. Moral failure. And and I'm not a doom and gloom kind of guy because, I like to keep my spit shine shoes ready to go. So I can take everybody to the party and have a good time, but that doesn't seem to be the case in a lot of ways, and becoming more visible nowadays.
Yeah,
it's very hard. You're hard pressed to find a happy hour. You might have an hour.
Well, that's why the bars host it. You have to drink a certain amount to enjoy it.
Yeah, you can't. So, but what a wonderful world. Louis Armstrong said.
I think your cousin, I think cousin Ernie is in effect, in a way, I don't want to put too much on him, but the reaction that he had, for example, to the school secure shooting situation, I think is pretty close to the reality in a lot of ways, is that there's nobody coming over the hill to save you.
That's right.
And, the knight in shining armor or whatever, like people used to, in West Virginia, this is a common thing. Well, Senator Byrd was like the knight in shining armor, right? He went to the Senate and took a lot of money from other states. Mm-hmm. Federal tax money, basically, from richer states, or at least richer in terms of people's income. West Virginia is always rich in natural resources, but not the people. And anyway, so he borrows money from all these and brings a ton of money into the state and has federal works like that build things like Shepherd University and the park system and the whatever highways are remaining in the state, pretty much Byrd built. And, but he died and, Joe Manchin has tried to take his place in a way, but you know he doesn't have the same political success. A different kind of political success, I suppose.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you're in a mess, and I think a revolutionary situation is likely to occur. And that's because I see too many, and I think everyone's commenting, there's too many external forces pressing on the U.S. position in the world. It's not going to, and this policy of, that since World War II, is that we're number one and we're going to dominate everything. That's an expensive proposition, and I don't think it's tenable really anymore. And we're getting backed up.
That's a dinosaur of a statement.
There's a lot of back pressure from all over the place on that. Yeah. So that puts, and that means, well, how do you, that means the country has no, you know, you could say if you have a problem between the rich and the poor in your country, which was certainly true at the end of World War II, okay? I mean, the big corporations had become even bigger and were about to become even bigger and bigger. And the rich were about, nothing, no matter what reforms we had all the way from 45 to through the civil rights and the whole era there, great society, none of it changed the increased separation of wealth in the country. Really didn't change the stats very much. And now they're out of the ballpark. Okay. So how do you fix that? And you find out that the, you know, it was what, 12 of the billionaires own 90% of the U.S. media.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. My friend.
And they weaponize it.
And they weaponized the financial system when they got mad at Russia. And but once you do that, people now say, oh, gee, I can't rely on the dollar as a unit of value everywhere. Okay, as the most stable of all currencies, because when they don't like somebody, they're going to weaponize it, and they're going to make it so they can have it, but you can't.
I mean, just a thought. We need to take a check, a fact. How many of the round tables or square tables are made like a chessboard in these big think tank? You know, like you say, all the people that own these. So they meet and sit down, and it seems that the chessboard is the way that they think of people and what they own. You know, the things that they can move around, the pieces, and they put stuff in place, and they buy into a good plan, like how to control the Negro slave. Their interest would be
economic primarily.
We put them against one another and the employees.
Yeah, exactly.
And now the country, see, those ideologies were working when the country was just beginning because it was easier to keep up with everybody because it wasn't a whole lot of everybody's. It was just two kinds of people, black ones. People of color, darker skin, and white people. Now, everybody done came here, so they don't know who. So how does a white supremacist come up with a name like Carlos, whatever the guy is? I don't know what kind of Mexican name this guy had. I said. Wait, and didn't he say he's a white supremacist?
He's a Mexican white supremacist.
Wrong turn.
Yeah. he must consider himself from a Spaniard of some kind. Spain was dominated by.
If he is a Spaniard or whatever, then he. If you look deeper, he's black.
That's right.
I know, right? So he really mixed. This cat is really confused about what he should be doing, man. And when they said that, I just was trying to figure out why is a white supremacist name with a name like this.
Right.
And what
Hey, you know, James, when you're in doubt, you should always consider this possibility. Maybe there was maybe there was money in it for him, and that's what, and he got inspired.
That's right.
I mean, you know, people.
I hear people.
You know, just expressing this sort of shameful disgust at Clarence Thomas, okay, the Supreme Court Justice, and. Because how could he, you know, this kind of thing. Well, everybody knows why, what right. I mean, that guy, look at the guy, look what he got his own cross to bury. Look at the woman he married, okay?
I know.
She's a lunatic, man. And he did it for money. I know damn well that from the beginning, you know, he hooked on to these guys and said, these guys want a black man, but I wonder how much they'll pay for it, okay? And, he took it to
the shuffling on down.
Well, and he just took it all the way to the bank, okay? And he got himself a billionaire of some sort that helped sponsor him. But he just played it, right? I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that he saw an opportunity and he said, fuck it, you know.
He definitely ain't no doubting Thomas.
No, he's not. You know, but I always, you know, I used to get disgusted too. But then I looked at him one day and I saw what his wife was saying every day. And I said, oh, my God, what would dinner be like? Jesus Christ.
That should be a crime right there.
I said, you got punished, brother. You got punished. That's what happened.
Feel bad for the guy, man.
Yeah, I do too. And I, you know, but well, I don't, not that bad. The wages of sin. Said, well, there you go.
That's not the one. That's not the one I wanted.
You know, yeah. What happened to What happened to the movie stars? Anyway.
Hey man, it's a lot to talk about. We got a lot to go over.
Oh Lord,
all
I feel
the time, every day, man. It becomes more and more comical as we go along because it's just unbelievable what people are saying because they feel like they can get away with what they are being questioned about in politics. Like this guy George Santos, he said, "I don't know what the United States government is talking about." I don't know what they coming from. what they mean?
Why can't I make it all up? Everybody else makes it up. Why can't I make it all up? Come on.
He's like, what's the big deal? I don't know. You know, what are you guys talking about? I'm not going anywhere because I didn't do anything wrong.
So, you know, here we have the Trump gets convicted of sexual assault. All right. And then he's leading the Republican campaign for president.
He did the alternative truths. That's what Santos is working with.
And he polled, according to ABC Washington Post, I don't believe all these polls that much, but he polled higher than Biden.
Man. Yeah, and then there's a bunch of lies up there.
So I told you about the Joe Manchin hypothesis here, right? About him running for president as an independent. At least that's he's definitely thinking about it. I don't know whether it's going to happen, but he's definitely thinking about it. And because the rumor has spread pretty far and wide. Anyway, but you can see how, suppose Trump is, I mean, I don't see any other candidates sticking their head up right now that, I mean, DeSantis tried, but he's clearly, I think he's done.
You know, definitely the poster child for it. Yeah, him on his head.
He doesn't do well on TV, and I don't know. He's not going to do it. He's not going to. So who's going to run against Trump and the Republican Party? Well,
I don't think
anybody is, actually, I suppose if he goes to prison, somebody will have to, but I can't believe it. I still have, the minute he appeals and gets closer to the Supreme Court, I just have grave doubts that any of that will stand up, you know. But anyway, maybe it will. But regardless, you're going to have a constitutional crisis. And then, so here's Joe. He says, well, there must be a lot of Republicans that don't want to vote Democrat, but don't want to vote for Trump, and, you know, are embarrassed by him for one thing or another. And why don't he have a big shift here and run as an independent? Now, you know, even 5 years ago, I mean, I would have said, it's absurd. You know, you step outside the two-party system and you're going to have to get back into it one way or the other. No one's really broken out of it. Bernie came the closest on the left-wing side. But even, I'm not sure if Sanders ever joined the Democratic Party. He hadn't when he ran against the first time, and Hillary was running on the, he had not joined the party at that point. He never did in Vermont. He caucused with the Democrats in the Senate and in the House, but he never joined. I don't think he ever joined the party. I remember when Bernie, yeah, when he was young, he told our union leadership one time. He says,
"What did you tell him?"
Well, we said, "Why don't you, join the Democrats and take over that?" He says, "You can't take them over. They're, you know, you're not going to take them over. The money is going to run the Democratic Party forever, and there's no point in it." He says, "I'll never." He claimed he would never do it. Now, that was 20 years before he ran for president.
Bernie was an independent, right?
Oh yeah, he was.
So Joe and Bernie been talking?
No, they don't. Joe's going. If he goes independent, he's going from the right to the right.
Yeah, he's going right independence, right?
He's going like
a Dixiecrat. What is a Dixiecrat?
Well, Dixiecrats used to be the Southern Democrats that were big into the segregation policies of the Southern states. Originally Senator Byrd, but he changed his mind.
The old Robert Byrd in Virginia.
All the guy, those governors in Georgia, you know, and
mayors.
A bunch of them, Dixiecrat.
Who would you say is a kind of a Dixiecrat in West Virginia right now? Without saying any names, I guess can you say
well, a good part of the Dixiecrat.
Berkeley County. Let's pick a county.
Sure, that guy. That guy. What's his name? Trump over there. the other guy. What's his name? I don't remember all it, but I don't know. You know, they probably, remember West Virginia's tradition was that it separated from Virginia over the issue of slavery in 1862. And of course that was manipulated a lot by Lincoln. But nonetheless, it's true that Western Virginia was mountainous and the agriculture was not suitable to the plantation crops at all. And so the slave system of agriculture, at least, you know, was almost non-existent in the western part of what was then Virginia. Racism was, but here's what happened, because the slaves counted as 3/5 human. Therefore, the plantations could count take their total enslaved population, you know, multiply it by 3/4, and that would be used as the basis of their popular representation, so that someplace down near Richmond or down near Charlottesville or on the wrong side of the right side of the mountains, you know, would have a big plantation, and there might be, 1,000 enslaved people and, you know, 300 others, you know, say. And the same area in West Virginia would only be, they'd get 300 votes, but they didn't have any slaves. So that ought to get, but the guy in the plantation said he'd get the 300 plus 3/4 of the 1,000. as his population, and therefore they would get more House of Representatives, but delegates, House of Delegates, representatives, because based on the size of the enslaved population, even though none of those people could vote, okay, ever, and so Western Virginia said we're being discriminated against because we have 1,000 citizens and we have less voting strength than 200 slave owners over in some other part of the state. So Lincoln leveraged that, right, to get them to support having a vote county by county by county by county about whether they wanted to stay in the Union or not. And that's how Jefferson County, you know, and the reason why Jefferson County voted, actually, this was one of the plantation counties. Okay.
Okay.
It was. Washington had his two of his properties here, right? You know, or one of them, you know. And so it wasn't, but the reason why it voted to stay with West Virginia was because of the presence of federal troops that were here.
And so right down in Bolivar, actually where you live, John,
the savior of the nation, right here.
The armory.
Yes.
Yeah, talk to our listeners a little bit about.
Well, Bolivar and Harpers Ferry, the same zip code, but we're on top of the hill, and Harpers Ferry is down there in the where the rivers merge. And you know, the federal armory in Harpers Ferry was a big deal for the federal government, and it had been selected by George Washington and Thomas Jefferson themselves as a location they needed for an armory, mainly because of the strategic position of the rivers, and and they put it there, and so lots of federal workers, you know, bringing wood in to fire the forges that were making the you know, the armor, the arms, and also the full time workers that were there, you know, all the time. So the full time workers apparently lived on top of the hill in Bolivar, and the temporary seasonal workers, which were mostly down in the downtown Harpers Ferry part, and but they voted, okay. And of course you could know the rest of the county was, with the exception of Charlestown.
I've been on those, looked over that majestic looking area there, up from the armory and Bolivar. I used to go to church down in there. I wanted our listeners to know how, you know, we can, John and I have forged, you know, this relationship. But my Harpers Ferry, listening to you tell the story and knowing how I've actually put my hand on the doorknob of the armory and other places around, stood on the train tracks overlooking that river, and I've watched people get baptized under the overpass down at the souvenir shops at the bottom of the hill in Harpers Ferry.
Right.
Beautiful cobblestone all laid out. Walked into a souvenir shop. Well, actually, my sister-in-law did. And she came out with this banner. And the banner on the banner was probably 9 little black babies. And the caption on the banner was alligator bait. And so that's kind of an interesting story. I just
alligator bait.
Alligator bait. They would use the babies to get across. The story is a story come with the banner. They would use the slave chasers.
Yeah.
Would use the babies to lure the alligators to one side of the river so that the wagons could cross over somehow. That was the story on this. You know, I don't know how true all of that silver, but the poster is just, it was just dropping for me. My sister-in-law bought the poster and brought it home, actually. And she was a Muslim. Well, she is a Muslim. God rest her soul. However you want to look at that, she passed away in West Virginia. And she's Muslim from New Jersey. And she was just, you know, being taken around and showed, and she bought that banner. Rahima is her name, and she brought it home. And you know, we had a conversation, a big conversation. I kept it for a lot of years, but somehow in transition, it got away from me. But the shop is still there, and very nice, quaint shops. I'm sure no harm is intended, but harm is already done, and harm is still being done. And so if anybody want to fact check that information, I would certainly.
You remember the name of the, it's the, which shop it is? Cause there's the,
it's one of the souvenir shops down there. I'm not sure exactly which one, and they sell banners. It's actually probably at the bottom of the hill on one of the flat streets. Cause I can't imagine Rahima doing a whole lot of climbing.
You're climbing up that hill.
Yeah, all up in the hill.
I know.
So I was there, John, when the, I was in Harpers Ferry when Good Morning America came through Harpers Ferry one season. They was doing their, and they came through on the train. And so I was down there on the tracks and went through that. And also, therefore, quite a number of occasions on that bridge. And it's beautiful scenery down there. But the backstory is always the best story. And so when people tune in and listen to this podcast, so you're going to get some history and some stuff that you can actually use and as, I don't know, curriculums in your, around your dinner table. You can use this stuff, this conversations that we're talking about, so you can fact check for yourself and get on top of some of this economic information, these jewels that John shares with us. So, John, we're coming up on 7:46, man. I think we're doing
a great job
at enlightening the folks this morning. What do you think?
I think we're good. You know, and we got more than 40 minutes is probably too much for people to listen to. They probably got to take a break and go smoke a cigarette or something.
So dynamic, man. You don't encourage yourself. Who else will? Start your day out by being good to yourself.
Let me just say that I will say I think you're going to see a major shift here take place. It's underway already. I think we're headed into a very complicated political terrain. You know, I'm a big supporter of Joe Biden, really, compared to the alternatives for sure. Even though I don't agree with his foreign policy, but I don't believe he's trying to do us harm, and I think he's trying in some ways to lift things up a little bit. He's done some interesting moves, but he's 80 years old, and I know how I feel at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's 75. So, and I can't believe
you look good, John, for 75 years old, my brother. You
well,
look good there.
I know, but I, you know, I get to 2 o'clock and I got to take a nap, man. And really, you know, and so, and I can't believe that Joe Biden is 80 and he's got, you know,
he's very animated. He's not,
and every decision you make at that level is a decision that nobody else below you could make or wanted to, or would take the risk of making, and you have to make it. And the odds of it.
He ain't no chump. He ain't no chump. He's little. He's a little guy. But I think he'll fight Donald Trump.
I think he will. And I'd certainly vote for him. But, I mean, why do we have to have an...
This is David and Goliath type of thing going on.
Well, just think about where are the American people at relative to the choices that are there at the top of the ticket, you know? You have a fella who should be able to retire. Yeah. Both of them, actually.
Hey, here's an idea. No, scratch that. Man. Well, I'm not going to run for president.
I think you should. You know, well, somebody. It's going to be decided in the streets.
That's where I'm from.
It is, because they're not going to be able to, no matter how well-intentioned Biden is, you're not going to talk Bezos and all the bunch of billionaires that own everything. You're not going to talk them out of their money. They will turn the planet upside down to prevent you from doing that. And I don't know who they are. The billionaires. I mean, there's only about what? There's about 50 of them that, you know, and they don't all agree. By the way, I mean, you see Bezos. He hates Trump. Okay, he hates him. So does Gates. And they got 100 times more money than Trump either has or could ever raise. Okay, who was backing Trump the first time? Big oil, big agribusiness, and also, yeah, big agribusiness is a biggie, okay? Yeah, the people that own land, they're whatever. Anyway, that was his base. And in rural areas especially, you know, where, mm-hmm. especially in the South, where he could play the race card everywhere, which he did.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Hey, they playing the race card by the deck.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody got it.
Every day.
You got one card to play, they got a whole deck. They throw the deck at you.
That's right. And so
the
it's
deck
just,
at you, it look like, and they call it a book.
And he's book. Got...
They throw the deck.
I just don't see it. I don't see it working. I don't see how it can work.
They should walk it. Yeah, they should take everybody that they think. Yeah, that's what they be trying to do. Come up with some shit. They come into court by the dozens. Just drag people in, just like they used to do slavery days. Put chains around and just have one trial. You know, come in with a deck of cards and just throw the deck up in the air. My goodness, that's what it's going down to, John. They're just so blatant with this behavior. And to take it lightly is a mistake.
It is. But I'm afraid that it's going to end up being pretty much a little bit like our friend, cousin Ernie was talking about. There are going to be a lot of areas. And let me just say, when security becomes an issue above the extreme poverty is always a security issue. Okay. It always is. You know, I mean, there's no protection and you are your own protection. But when the security question starts to apply across the board to lots of more people, it will trump everything else. No pun intended. It just people go crazy, and it's always sparked usually by bread. You know, right? Look at the whole French Revolution. You know, I mean, if the monarchy had produced some more bread, all the people in the streets would have, you know, gone back to living their life a little bit. Okay, but once there's no bread, I'm sorry.
No bread.
There's no bread, and right, you know, and so you have too much of that, you know, now, and you got a lot of people with big grievances and looking for somebody to point them at. And I just, that everybody knows it's not healthy, but my God, you're headed, and we've done this before. This happened, not the same thing, but we've had this situation where you can't fix it, and it comes to arms of one kind or another. And
hey,
I don't know.
I know. Hey, John, we're coming up on 7.
Yeah, then we should do it.
I got an idea I want to run by you, see if you can do it for us.
Sure.
Can you give us a small tutorial once again? Is there some way you can put Enlightened Radio on the share screen and talk to us about how to get to the player and how to view, how to get to the shows that you want to listen to?
Let's see. Yeah, sure. Let me see. Where's the share?
Yeah.
Okay. And, let me share a screen here. Okay. Hold on a second here.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
One second here. Let me get the site up first.
Oh, so this is only going to be audio and not video.
No, it'll be video. No, it'll be. Okay. Yeah. Now, yeah, hold on a second. Now,
The site is set up on enlightenment just for those of you who are tuning in and are willing to, and who have the audacity to stay until the end, because I know an hour is such a long time. We appreciate everybody.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's see.
Us.
Now, if I share the screen, ahead, okay. Okay, this is what it looks like.
There we go.
That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful site.
www.enlightenedradio.org. And the player, you can see, is at the top, okay? Mm-hmm. And we also have a player dot, a whole page just for player. We also have, you see how it started feeding through again?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And usually I have what's playing now, but right now that's not accurate because it's live right now. Okay. So when it gets back on to the automation, this thing will look at, it'll have change. What's there. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's basically how it works.
Okay. It's beautiful, beautifully set up, man, and it's very friendly to use. And so the amazing thing about it is we can have conversations that we can pick up on and answer your questions on the upcoming podcast, you know, and just gives more content. It gives more breadth
right.
to what it is, what this movement actually is all about, to be able to disseminate information and to distribute it. We're coming up on Juneteenth again, so this year. And so just think about how the information that was critical to the survival of a lot of people was not disseminated at all. You know, now it's being not disseminated because of techniques or because of a lot of times, you know, ignorance and because people are not willing to actually get in there and get hungry for the truth and good information that you can do something with. You know, not information just for information's sake. So great job, John. I do.
Do you use your Facebook Recovery Radio site at all?
Yes.
Because if
I post stuff on it.
Right. So if you post at the top of the feed there someplace a link to the player, like when I'll post another link to you in the okay. chat. Okay. So then if you get on your site, you can just copy that link and put it on your feed. And it'll be there so people can see how to click directly. They don't have to go to the – it'll take them automatic. They click on that, it'll take them automatically to Enlightened Radio, you know. So I'm not always sure how on your cell phones, you know, the page sometimes lines up different. That's why I created the player.enlightenedradio.org because sometimes on the browser on your phone, it'll you'll have to do an extra click to get to the player from the page, whereas on the player page, I don't know, but I should.
Good job, work on though, that. Man.
Anyway,
friendly
okay.
site. Yeah. Hey.
All right.
So that's
all. Take
for
us
me
out.
Today,
take us out,
John.
Buddy.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see the county commissioner today with a group of people talking about. We're going to be talking about gun violence and fees and fines in the judicial system, how to get rid of them. And so a couple of good
this
things.
This is New Jersey or West Virginia?
Today. New Jersey.
Okay.
New Jersey Together is what it's called.
Okay.
And when we get another, I guess we're coming up on 1 minute, John, so you can go ahead and close us out if you'd like. Or
All right, man. Well, see if we can get... if you're having a conversation with county commission, see if you can get some of the folks to come on next week, maybe talk about what they're doing.
Ah, yes.
You know, that'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
You know, I'm interested.
All right,
here.
John, have a great one.
All right, buddy. Take care, man. Come on down and see us. And
I gotta get down. It's getting
you
warm,
do.
Man.
I miss you, man.
Gotta get that car on the road.
All right.
All right, John.
Take care, buddy. All right.
Take care.
Love, love. Yeah. Peace.
All you need is love.
All right.
Recording stopped.